The net effect of holding a child in confinement for 12 years and longer without any honor paid to the spirit is an extended demonstration the state considers the Western God tradition to be dangerous. And of course it is. Schooling is about creating loyalty to an abstract central authority, and no serious rival can be welcome in a school that includes mother and father, tradition, local custom, self-management, or God.
As for schools, for many South Carolina families, public schools provide the opportunity for parents to work, provide housing, meals, and economic security for their children. Literally, their lives revolve around those schools. When the children are in schools, that allows the parents to do many other things. And of course, we know how important it is for the children to be in school for a variety of reasons. Many working parents just simply cannot stay home with the children every day, but they have to go to work. They have to feed the families, provide shelter and security for their future, their medical care, and everything else. If a parent wants to send their children back to school, or if they want to keep their child at home, they should have their choice.
Resist much, obey little. Once unquestioning obedience, once fully enslaved. Once fully enslaved, no nation, state, city of this earth ever afterward resumes its liberty.
Schools are to establish fixed habits of reaction to authority. That's their main purpose, habits of reaction to authority. That's why school authorities don't tear their hair out when somebody exposes that. Each of these books has hundreds of substantive errors. Learning isn't the reason the texts are distributed. So now, here comes the wonderful insight that being able to analyze a detail will give you. How can you establish whether someone has successfully developed this automatic reaction? Because people have a proclivity when they're given sensible orders to follow it. That's not what they want to reach. The only way you can measure this is to give stupid orders and people automatically follow those. Now you've achieved function. Have you ever wondered why some of the foolish things schools do are allowed to continue? Number two, he calls the conformity function. It's to make children as alike as possible, the gifted children and the stupid, as alike as possible, because market research uses statistical sampling, and it only works if people react generally the same way. The third function he calls the directive function. School is to diagnose your proper social role and then to log the evidence that here's where you are in the Great Pyramid so that future people won't allow you to escape that compartment. The fourth function is the differentiating function. Because once you've diagnosed kids in this layer, you do not want them to learn anything that the higher layers are learning. So you teach just as far as the requirements of that layer. Number five and six are the creepiest of all. Number five is the selective function. What that means is what Darwin meant by natural selection. You're assessing the breeding quality of each individual kid. You're doing it structurally because school teachers don't know this is happening. So the selective function is what Darwin meant by the favored races. The idea is to consciously improve the breeding stock. Schools are meant to tag the unfit with their inferiority by poor grades, remedial placement, humiliation, so that their peers will accept them as inferior. And the good breeding stock among the females will reject them as possible partners. And the sixth is the creepiest of all, and it's a fancy Roman name, the propaedeutic function. Because as early as Roman big time thinkers, it was understood that to continue a social form required some people being trained, that they were the custodians of this. So some small fraction of the kids are being ready to take over the project.
I quoted the Trilateral Commission view of the educational system, namely it's a system of indoctrination of the young. And I think that's correct. It's a system of indoctrination of the young. That was the way the liberal elites regard it, and they're more or less accurate. So the educational system is supposed to train people to be obedient, conformist, not think too much, do what you're told, stay passive, don't cause any crises of democracy, don't raise any questions, and so on. That's basically what the system is about. Even the fact that the system has a lot of stupidity in it, I think, has a function. You know, it means that people are filtered out for obedience. If you can guarantee lots of stupidity in the educational system, you know, like stupid assignments and things like that, you know that the only people who will make it through are people like me and like most of you, I guess, who are willing to do it no matter how stupid it is, because we want to go to the next step, you know. So you may know that this assignment is idiotic and the guy up there couldn't think his way out of a paper bag, but you'll do it anyway, because that's the way you get to the next class. And you want to make it, and so on and so forth. Well, there are people who don't do that.
Sometimes forced learning kills natural curiosity. Think about that really smart kid who had absolutely no desire to do their schoolwork and to participate in class because it felt fruitless and they just didn't do well in school. We all know that person or that child who's so, so smart and just doesn't care, because at some point that natural curiosity, that desire to learn has been smashed, has just been pushed down.
There are people who say, I'm not going to do it, it's too ridiculous, you know. Those people are called behavioral problems or something like that. They end up in the principal's office or in the streets or selling drugs or whatever. And all of this is a technique for selection for obedience.
Obedience can be defined as performing an action not because of a personal desire or motive, but because one is commanded to do so by someone in a position of authority. Even a cursory glance at history, wrote Arthur Koestler, should convince one that individual crimes committed for selfish motives play a quite insignificant part in the human tragedy, compared to the numbers massacred in unselfish loyalty to one's tribe, nation, dynasty, church, or political ideology. What this sad fact of history suggests is that humans have a strong tendency to obey those in positions of power.
And I don't know how to prove this, but I have a feeling that when you go to the elite universities, you find more obedience and conformity, probably because you're getting the students who were better able to do it. You know? So the problem is that you can't have progress this way. No, now, especially in the sciences and engineering, that's a problem, because the corporations need science and engineering. You know, if you don't have innovation, you're really in trouble. So they have to encourage creativity and independence, because you can't get anywhere if you just copy what somebody told you. You have to be challenging things all the time, challenging everything, you know, and thinking new thoughts and so on. And there you got a real contradiction. It's hard to train people to be creative and challenging and so on, and yet to ensure that somewhere else in their lives they're conformist and obedient and never think. You know, there are teachers who do stimulate thought, and sometimes they get away with it. And all the way through, you know, if people are learning things, you just you just can't control, you can't make them just regurgitate what they heard.
Now, there's a think lot about all of the tests that you crammed for in high school or in college, that you spent hours cramming this information into your brain so that you could pass the test. Do you remember it all? Do you remember even a portion of it? Or do you remember the things that you're passionate about, the things that matter to you, the things that interest you? You remember what it is important for you to remember, whether that be because of need or because of passion. You remember what you need to know. Number three.
I mean, the purpose is just to impose authority. You know, here's the great thoughts. All this other stuff is rubbish. Just learn those and you're okay. I'll pick them, you memorize them. That's basically the line. Now, of course, that's the opposite of education.
That crucial to a free and flourishing society are men and women who are willing to question and even resist authority when necessary. But public schooling is viewed as one of the shining lights of the modern Western world. Who could question the value of an institution that provides free and compulsory education for all? But as with many institutions of our day, the textbook picture of how the institution should work greatly diverges from the reality of how it does work. If public schools taught individuals how to think, if they promoted intellectual curiosity and produced citizens healthy in body and mind, then few would question their value. But beneath the veneer presented by the bureaucrats that run this institution, a darker reality emerges. After well over a decade of indoctrination in the school system, few emerge with a great thirst for knowledge and a curiosity toward the many mysteries of the world. Instead, as Bruce Levine writes in his book Resisting Illegitimate Authority, by the time a student graduates, they have been bred to be passive, to be directed by others, to take seriously the rewards and punishments of authority, to pretend to care about things that they do not care about, and that one is impotent to change one's dissatisfying situation.
But if there's a couple of things that I think are waking people up, because school for kids, like the parents view school as just as a, it's kind of a black hole where the kids go for, you know, 7-8 hours a day, and they don't really get a sense of the content. And I think one of the things that's interesting is some of the parents being rather appalled at the stuff that's coming across the virtual learning Zoom window, the kind of stuff that they're being taught, right? And there's some school districts who are like, hey, do not watch this live stream if you're a parent. They don't want to know.
Yeah,
they don't want the parents to know what's going on. I think that's pretty significant. Oh. The other thing too is that they're getting a sense of the amount of busy work, because, you know, the teachers are being paid for like, what, an hour, maybe two, maybe two and a half, maybe a little bit more of on-screen time. And, you know, the kids seem to be completing their work in an hour or two. And then it's like, okay, so what is the rest of the time being used for then in particular? And the other thing too, I think people are seeing that the teachers' unions are impeding the e-learning, that the government is pretty incompetent when it comes to getting technology working. And also, of course, that the teachers are more than happy to accept full-time salary for part-time work. I mean, hey, wouldn't we all, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
But the teachers who are working a couple hours at most a day, yeah, they're like, yeah, full benefits, summers off, full pay. Because, you know, there's two tribes under COVID. There's two tribes under COVID. There's day and night in the world, and there's government workers and everyone else under COVID. Because government workers seem to be doing pretty all right. Everyone else, kind of host.
Like, they are starting to talk about concern for the education system itself. They're talking about making it illegal to homeschool. I mean, nobody's serious about it yet, but they always float that stuff first. You mentioned the thing with they don't want you to watch your child's streaming lessons from school. But their viewpoint was, now that you're allowing us to virtual school your child, our rules for our building apply to your home.
We just conscripted your private residence for state property.
Well, who do you think the first people to pull their kids out of school are going to be? They're people of means. They're people that are concerned with the kids' education. They're all the kids that prop up those test scores.
Right, right.
That they say, this is why you're paying $14,000 a year in property tax on a 3-bedroom house. Well, once those kids go and those test scores drop, that's another problem for the institution. So I really think you're going to start seeing them make it harder to withdraw. Once you're out, and I mean all the way out, you are, you know, to whatever level the state you're in will allow you to do so, it's very difficult to get the claws back in the end.
I mean, to me, the West really began to die mid-19th century when governments took over education, and it became I mean, why is socialism and communism spreading so rapidly? Because we're using socialism and communism to educate our children from each
other. A lot of push for online schools now. It seems like a trend towards standardizing information given in schools and controlling what is put in the students' heads even more, like they're doing with the internet. What are your thoughts about that, this viewer?
Right, yeah, actually that's interesting because it can go either way. Yes, of course, we could think of the old model that we've been, that we, I'm sure, all grew up under of the public school system, and here is the curriculum that everyone will learn, and this is the standardized testing that comes along. So we can replicate that via the internet so that all the children are in their little COVID bubbles at home doing their learning online through the standard curriculum that everyone else is learning and doing the standardized tests that everyone's doing. Or we could try, imagine this, homeschooling or even unschooling or other ways of imagining education taking place. It is not exactly a novel observation, but I think it's one that's worth making nonetheless, that the education system has for a very long time been the miseducation system in a lot of key respects. And obviously anyone who's interested in 9/11 will know that. To the extent that 9/11 makes it into the history books that children are learning from these days, it will be a paragraph or two about Al-Qaeda and the 19 hijackers. So we know that the education system as it exists, the public government schooling system, is there to control and create a certain narrative. Can it be possible that there are other ways of learning? Well, not only is it possible, it's already happening. There are a lot of people who do homeschool and use different curricula to teach their children. There are even people who unschool and allow their children to use their natural innate human curiosity to drive their learning. Imagine that. But even for people who can't imagine that, yes, homeschooling is already taking place and is taking off during this particular era that we're living through. I noted with some amusement, there was an editorial, I can't remember where it was, the New York Review of Books or something like that, that was decrying, oh no, the closing the schools will be horrible because all these parents will start homeschooling their children and we can't allow that, which created some controversy. There was some debates and things that happened as a result of that. But I think that is important, the idea of actually utilizing this remarkable tool that we have to essentially access the some knowledge of human understanding at a moment's notice, at our fingertips. That is an incredible potential that we've only begun to tap into. And imagine if we really tap into it in a serious way without the limitations of everyone must read this text and everyone must learn this and everyone must do these standardized tests. This is a potential for exploding that system and really starting a flowering of human knowledge and understanding. But of course it could go the exact opposite way and even more thoroughly standardize people who are already caught in that mindset that everything has to come through one centralized system.
Yeah, that's really scary. And you don't have the crystal ball, huh, to tell us which way it's going to go?
Not only do I not have the crystal ball, it isn't fate. It isn't sealed in the stars. It is up to us. It is the decisions that we make now about what we do that will determine that. So I can't tell you what everyone out there is going to do. All I can do is say, this is what's happening, and you can use this to try something different. The only question is, are you going to?
The net effect of holding a child in confinement for 12 years and longer without any honor paid to the spirit is an extended demonstration the state considers the Western God tradition to be dangerous. And of course it is. Schooling is about creating loyalty to an abstract central authority, and no serious rival can be welcome in a school that includes mother and father, tradition, local custom, self-management, or God.